This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run with Wong Xiaoning and myself, Shazana Mokhtar. It's Monday, the 10th of January, 7:05 in the morning. But first, as always, let's kickstart our day with a recap on how global markets closed yesterday. Or on Friday?
Well, it was a rather red day. The Dow was actually flat. S&P 500 down 0.4%. Nasdaq was down 1%. Nikkei was also flat. Hang Seng Index, however, had a pretty good day. It was up 1.8%. Shanghai was down 0.2%. Singapore Straits Times Index was up 0.7%. And our very own FBM KLCI was up 0.6%.
So for insights into what's moving global markets, joining us on the line is Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank. Vishnu, good morning. Happy Monday. Now, the U.S. markets closed in the red on Friday, and this is likely due to the latest jobs report. U.S. non-farm payrolls undershot market forecasts with far less jobs added in December. Yet the unemployment rate is below 4%. So do these two numbers indicate that the U.S. labor market is close to full employment?
Good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. It does appear that that jobs market report has got a lot to digest. And I think the takeaway is that despite the very weak headline that undershot expectations for new jobs created, we bear in mind that the net jobs number. And in all likelihood, what is happening is that the quit rates are much higher than the employment rates, which is why when you look at the unemployment rate, that's people actively seeking jobs, as a proportion of people actively seeking jobs, that has continued to decline and is below 4% now. In the grander scheme of things, as you rightly pointed out, the reason why the equity markets were down is perhaps because this is continuing to underpin that the Fed will have to be hawkish and the prospects for quantitative tightening at the end of the year. Those things are perhaps causing a little bit of concern in the market around liquidity and how quickly interest rates can rise and financial conditions can tighten.
But does this mean that the expectations of at least 2 rate hikes this year or maybe 3 rate hikes will be actually accelerated?
It certainly appears like the 3 rate hikes will be accelerated in two senses. One is it's probably going to be brought forward. So I think, from late last year, a lot of the consensus being around in Q2 or around the middle of the year, I think March FOMC now becomes a live meeting. And I think the amplitude of the number of hikes that could be put through is also beginning to rise. And I think, that squares with, but it's perhaps a more severe version of our Kokomo Fed that gets there fast. And then people are waiting to see when they take it slow. So that's really the point there.
I was waiting for that, Vishnu. I was trying to make sense of why you had that reference.
Oh, I was just listening to Beach Boys and I didn't know what to write. So I got the text to fit the theory rather than the other way around.
We love it, Vishnu. We love it. But let's take a look at 10-year U.S. Treasury yields that topped 1.8% last Friday. How would you explain this spike in yields and what are the implications for financial markets if they hit 2%?
Here's the thing. The odd thing here is that we need to explain something that we should not have needed to explain. Let me explain. Here's the thing. With inflation expectations at really high, elevated levels, anywhere between 2.4 to 2.6% for 10-year inflation expectations, depending on which measure you take, historically and typically, your 10-year yields would at least have been around the 2.2% ballpark. The fact that we've been living with 1.4-1.5% yields was the quirk, not the fact that it's risen now. So the fact that it's rising much faster now indicates to us two things. One is I think there is a reaction to the quantitative tightening prospects being brought up a lot sooner, which means a reduction in the balance sheet of the Fed leading to more bond supply, lifting the yields up. And the other point is I think the market perception of how the Fed is going to react to this round of inflation is also changing. Because we do remember a quote-unquote patient Fed that was allowing the economy to run hot. I think that's a very fluffy and fluid interpretation, which is quickly shifting. And so we should not be surprised if we see 10-year yields, getting into the 1.8 to 2% range and then testing higher if the Fed, especially Fed Chair Powell, does not push back on perceptions that quantitative tightening could come a lot sooner than earlier anticipated.
But at the same time, equity markets are aren't having such a good start to the year. I think the S&P 500 is posted its worst start to a year since 2016. Even the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 had its worst week since February last year. What does it mean for equity markets, though?
Well, I think, you know, one thing we kept thinking about equity markets, which for reference had risen between 2020 to 2021, looking at the MSCI Global Index, was up 37%. The main takeaway about the equity markets is even if they're divorced from reality, they're married to liquidity, which is why the moment quantitative tightening comes into the picture, unlike anything else, unlike taper, which leaves liquidity in the system, quantitative tightening that threatens to remove liquidity from the system is always going to cause a little bit of a pushback on equity valuations. And so to determine where equity markets are going, we need to get two things fixed. One is exactly how this recovery out of the pandemic is going to shape up, because that's going to give rise to the top-line prospects for earnings, so on and so forth. But the other aspect of it, the liquidity aspect, which is, in this case, we want to get a better feel of when quantitative tightening will start and whether or not Fed Chair Powell will push back on QT as early as the end of this year. And really, the reference here is this time around, if you think about it, even if rate hikes started in March, to have quantitative tightening, even if it's early next year, that's a one-year gap, versus the last time around when rate hikes started in 2015, quantitative tightening only started in 2017. So the last time we gave a two-year gap, equity markets are not getting the same runway this time.
But if we look at the Straits Times Index, Vishnu, it has outperformed more developed stock indices, at least for the first 2 weeks of this year. Why are Singapore equities moving in a different direction to the risk-off trend in global markets?
That's a great question. And I don't think I want to be too quick to talk about exceptionalism here, particularly with Singapore, right? I mean, it's small, open, so really price taker in every sense. But the initial aspect of this, and an interesting one, it's just a conjecture on my part, is that late last year, because markets were shifting gears from taper to rate hikes, we saw the USD yield curve flattening, which is typically bad for the financial sector, particularly banking sector, because it negatively impacts net interest margin. With quantitative tightening coming into the picture, the early year move has been a steepening of the yield curve. So markets may be adjusting positions, overlooking higher yields, but looking at a steeper curve that may be better for financials. That's just a narrow window. After that, I think really we cannot escape the forces of global recovery and global liquidity.
Okay, and you know, if we look at Southeast Asia, the Omicron cases are unfortunately rising. You know, what kind of do countries here in this region have enough fiscal and monetary buffer to weather another round of restrictions?
I think, you know, it's not an abysmal case where you know, we're going to run out of bullets, but the bullets are getting increasingly expensive as the supply runs out. And especially with the developed nations getting two key advantages, the first dips on vaccines for booster shots, so on and so forth, and the other one is the cheap funding and then moving into fiscal consolidation means that Southeast Asia needing to keep fiscal deficits wide to recover from COVID will appear less effective to some investors and maybe even flag up some red warning signs with the credit ratings agencies. And these are key risks that are amplified at a time when the Fed starts hiking rates. So I'm just thinking this is a conspiracy of bad news that amplifies the downside in the outcomes. Not that each standalone factor on its own is terribly bad or dismal.
Vishnu, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy at Mizuho Bank, also a Beach Boys fan, giving us his take on what's moving markets, including just the expectations of the Fed raising interest rates this year.
Yeah, so definitely I think the pace will definitely accelerate, and maybe interest rates might be much higher than what we imagine it to be. I think at the moment the dot plot suggests 3. But, you know, Bloomberg, I think, has their own internal tests and it could be as many as 6, but I doubt that. I don't think markets have the appetite for such a sharp accelerated rate hike. But the US employment numbers was a bit slower than expected. But at the same time, you're talking about a country where it seems like they've achieved the full employment target that they wanted, because unemployment is actually only at 3.9%.
That's right. And despite the lower than expected number for December, a record 6.4 million jobs were created last year, which is the largest annual increase in employment since record keeping started in 1939. So in that sense, pandemic recovery has really been, you know, it's been on the upswing.
Yeah. And I think we're going to see that in capital markets, because a social media company Reddit, which of course contributed to this mean stock frenzy that we saw in the last 2 years, they're going for IPO with Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs.
And I think the valuations are raising eyebrows. This potential valuation, it's speculated to be at $15 billion, which is huge.
Are they profitable? Question mark.
What is essentially a forum platform. I think this is going to be an interesting one to watch in the year to come.
I'm curious if Laoyat Forum actually becomes listed, what kind of valuation will they get one day?
Tell us what you think. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.